Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Yesterday, I said that baseball is going to baseball, and that was before I even knew how hard baseball was going to baseball. But by the end of the day, we all knew, right? On opening day, no less. Who knew that the first game of the season, in the debut of the most famous player in the sport, arguably the greatest player ever in that sport, and that game happening at the ass crack of dawn, halfway around the world, was merely an appetizer of things to come? Who knew the main course would be the most famous player getting caught up in a sports gambling scandal with his interpreter? Even for baseball, that was one hell of a train wreck day for baseball. Even for Shohei, this is one hell of an opening day stat line. Two hits, an RBI, a stolen base, one $4.5 million gambling controversy, and one interpreter and alleged best friend bleep canned. Listen, I don't know exactly what happened here. I'm not going to act like I know exactly what happened here. Like the vast majority of social media is acting like they know exactly what happened here. However, I have a brain. I've got a nose. And we're all smelling and thinking the same thing right about now. We all know that this reeks.
Slider.
And that it's sketchy as hell. And that Slider stinks. This is what happens when you dramatically change. Thank you, Alvy. When you dramatically change your story, the way this story dramatically changed as soon as Shohei's lawyers got involved, people tend to find that suspicious. I tend to find that suspicious for very obvious reasons. I find it incredibly suspicious that initially Ipe, sat down with ESPN in an interview reportedly coordinated by a Shohei spokesman. Make that make sense, by the way. What the hell was that? And then told ESPN that Shohei covered his illegal gambling debts. Ipe said that he made the bets and he ran up a $4+ million debt with an illegal bookie, and that Shohei offered to help him out and pay down that debt. That's what Ipe initially told ESPN. And then Ipe reportedly stood in front of the Dodgers in the clubhouse in South Korea after the game yesterday and told them all the same story. But then all of a sudden, that story was disavowed by that same Shohei spokesman who set up the ESPN interview in the first place. And then that spokesman referred all of us to this statement from Shohei's lawyers. Quote, "In the course of responding to recent media inquiries, we discovered that Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft, and we are turning the matter over to the authorities." End quote. Uh-oh! I mean, to be honest, I don't even know exactly what I'm uh-oh-ing. I just know those are two completely different stories. One day after the other. Sketchy as hell, right? I don't know exactly what I'm uh-oh-ing. I just know that it deserves maybe the slowest Carl Lewis you have, Alvy. So questions, right? Can you make it even slower, Alvy? Is there any way to slow it down? I mean, questions, right? Thank you, Alvy. Well done. Thank you. Anyway, questions. Does it seem like Shohei is actually, quote, the victim of a massive theft? End of quote.
Let's not get into that.
I don't know. It seems like Shohei transferred money, lots of it, to an illegal bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation. And that's pretty much all we actually know in terms of fact. So he transferred the money or he's a victim of, quote, massive theft. Questions. What we know for sure is bad enough. I mean, what we know for sure. It's bad enough for everybody involved. And obviously, it's even worse, much worse, way worse if Shohei directed these bets. And then Shohei ran his best bud right through the wood chipper. And then, if that weren't bad enough, if that happened, it's even worse still yet if those bets were placed on baseball games. Then it's catastrophic. Then it's nuclear. Now, I'm not saying that happened. We don't know. Ipay and other sources have said over and over again across multiple media outlets that Shohei had no involvement in the betting. And on top of that, that none of the bets were on baseball. Look, somebody had a gambling problem. Somebody. And before you rush up in here and say, even if it were Shohei, it's not a problem if it's 5 mil when the guy's making 700 mil. That's not the point, right? Somebody was gambling. A lot. But what's interesting to me is somebody was gambling a lot, but apparently not on baseball. I always find that so curious. You're getting your clock cleaned. You suck. You can't win a bet. You're 5 mil in the hole. You're chasing. But you're not going to bet on the one thing that you have inside information on, or worst case scenario, if you're the guy, you could actually impact. You can impact because you're playing the game. But whoever was betting didn't bet on baseball. That's interesting. That's curious. That's sketchy. Maybe it's true. But you're just going to make a ton of other bets on crap that you do not understand and keep digging a hole to the tune of 4.5-5 mil, but not bet on the one thing you know best. Oh, okay. Kind of hard to believe. Very hard to believe. But I guess possible. But it's also hard to believe that it was all Ipe and Shohei was just bailing out his buddy. And that neither of them realized that wiring that money constituted a crime. How do they not know that? Ipe is like, oh, I didn't know it was illegal. I didn't know that betting with a bookie in a state where it's not legal to bet was illegal. Really? And how could, even if Shohei didn't bet, how did all of this happen under his watch? He had no idea what his dude was doing. The two of these guys are inseparable. They're tight. He's not just his interpreter. They're really tight. And in terms of Shohei, we're talking about one of the more careful dudes ever, right? How does one of the most careful dudes ever get that sloppy with it? This dude's entire career and public image have been meticulously choreographed. I mean, we couldn't even get the name of this guy's dog. The Dodgers didn't even know he was married. This dude is so careful and so private, and the whole thing's just so choreographed. And for what? So his whole career could hop off the rails on day one as a Dodger because he and his interpreter did not realize that it was illegal to bet with a bookie in California? I mean, that's a major leap, right? That's hard to believe. Now, with all that said, notice I'm not saying that he did it. He did it. I know he did it because I don't know that he did. I'm in no rush to proclaim that Shohei is Chris Carter's biggest fan. Or
you
that Shohei
ball guy in the crew.
Studies Chris Carter's philosophy on life. Alvy.
You got to have a fall guy in the crew.
That Shohei not only attends Chris Carter rookie seminars, but he shows up, sits in the front row with a pen and paper and takes copious notes. And records the seminar with his phone. What I'm not saying is that Shohei has himself a fall guy. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he's got a fall guy, and now that fall guy is taking the fall. Because I don't know that for sure. But the word that I will use in all of this is sketchy. Because it is sketchy. It's sketchy as hell. because of those two totally different stories back to back. If you're changing stories and the lawyers are getting involved and a guy is suddenly terminated, it's all sketchy. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anybody? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. I don't think you need to be a calculus wizard to tell that the math ain't mathing. Something stinks. Something is not adding up. The situation is so sketchy that the High Court of Social Media has already ruled. And the ruling is, this dude is guilty as hell. They're saying that Shohei clearly gambled and he paid the price. Get it? He paid the price. Thank you, Alvin. The Court of Social Media opinion is calling this dude Pete Rose. People are talking about lifetime bans as if Shohei quite obviously made the bets and quite obviously bet on baseball. When again, we don't know. As far as we know, there were no bets placed on baseball games because Ipe has said it multiple times. However, he said it so many times, it makes you wonder. But according to Ipe, the bets were only on international soccer, the NBA, the NFL, and college football. Just a couple of more thoughts, and I could do this for 3 hours, but it's also hard to believe that the most meticulous, careful, low-key dude ever is actually a raging football betting degenerate. That's hard to believe, right? And is it not also hard to believe that a raging degenerate would also defer 97% of the fortune headed his way for a decade? That doesn't exactly fit the raging degenerate profile, does it? It all seems unlikely. And it all seems out of character. But like I always say, we don't really know any of these guys. And the thing about this particular guy is we really don't know anything about this guy. We don't know anybody, but we know even less than this guy, than anybody. Again, the Dodgers didn't even know he was married. He wouldn't even tell us the name of his dog. We know nothing about this dude. The only good news in any of this for Shohei and the Dodgers is that as of this morning, according to reports, he is not under league investigation. Also, the feds have not reached out to Shohei, Ipe, or the league, as far as we know, which is pretty damn lucky considering the only real information we know is that Shohei's account wired at least two 500K transactions to the account of an illegal book. And obviously that doesn't just violate MLB rules, it violates the law. Such a shame. It could have all been so easily avoided. Illegal California bookmaker. Psst, please. Now what are you dudes thinking about anyway? All you had to do was open a Prize Picks account. Duh. Daily fantasy, dude. Instead of racking up over $4 million in debt to a bookie, you could have just played more or less on Prize Picks. Dude. Shohei. Ipe. It's so simple. All you have to do is pick more or less. It's just you and your picks, Ipe. It's just you and your picks. No sharks, no crazy leagues, and most importantly, no feds. Man, I wonder if Prize Picks will have this as a category. Imagine showing up to the site. Men's college basketball, women's college basketball, NBA, NHL, esports, MLB. And then next to MLB is MLB Interpreters, MLBI. Like clones, get your crayons out. I'm only going to say this once. Here's how I'm going to do this. I'm going to go less. Remember, pick more or less. I pick less than a lifetime ban for Shohei. And since I have to pair that with another entry, I'm going to go less than 2.5 for 500K wire transfers to an illegal bookie. And because I'm feeling dangerous, I'm going to add a third pick. Ipe would like that, a third entry. This practically feels like a gift. I'm going to go more than 1.5 interpreters employed by Shohei this MLB season. You're welcome. I mean, are you kidding me about this story? Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Of course. This time, though, don't make a shake or eat a bar. Grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty and tender. It's made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire, and it goes wherever you go. To the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? So with games already underway, I figured I better get to the head as quickly as possible. Head, it has been a minute. How you living? And have you been hammering and getting ready for the tournament?
Man, life is good, and hell yes, I've been prepping for this for some time. I even reached out to Shohei's guy. I'm going to fade all of his picks. I feel good, Jim.
Okay, I like it. Let's see. Let's see if you're going to be a chalky little bitch or take some big shots with some dogs. Let's do this thing. You ready, Head?
Hell yes, let's do it.
Illinois, -11.5 in their game. Who are they playing, Head? Are you going to lay the points? How are you going to play this?
We will start today by being a chalky little bitch and lay the 11.5 points and take the Big Ten Conference champion. Morehead State can shoot, rebound, and guard the three, and Illinois has struggled in the one area that makes you worry about an upset. That's a three-point line. They shot 34% from distance and are ranked 210th in the country in defending the three. That's our WW both ends gasser stat of the day, if you will, Jim.
But
the Eagles. No, I will not. I said I won't.
I apologize.
Thank you, Alvin. Thank you, Alan. I appreciate that.
Wow.
But the Eagles
remind me how much I don't miss you, Head.
Thank you, Alan.
Picking up.
I love this
show. Right where you left off. That did not take long, man.
I'm so happy to be back.
That did not. It's like riding a bike, isn't it, Head?
It is. It feels so good to be back here.
It feels so horrible to have you back. Go ahead.
The Eagles had some bad luck before the season started. They lost Mark Freeman, who was tabbed as their conference player, preseason player of the year. Bad luck with such a good team around him, and I just don't think they have enough to keep up with Terrence Shannon Jr. and an offense that netted 1.25 points per possession and ranked second in the country on KenPom in offensive rating. Let's go with the Navy, Blue, Orange, and Illinois, -11.5.
All right, so I'm already sick of you already, but I'm going to play it the same way. McNeese State versus Gonzaga. Far from a typical season head for the Zags, though they did get hot at the right time. They are playing some of their better ball when they need to. But again, definitely not the monster we've seen in the past. Are you going to ride with them or the dog and take the points?
I'm riding with Will Wade and the McNeese State Cowboys here. Yes, it's funny, Jim. How much less stress does Will have in his life now that he doesn't have to pay players under the table, reportedly? That was a funny joke, right? Not good?
No, not
two?
Really.
Damn it.
No.
Anyways.
It didn't land with me at all, dude.
Didn't land.
That's why I didn't laugh.
Okay, but his Cowboys will land. They're good. I'll take them in the 7 points here. He has talent. He has the Southland Player of the Year and guard Shahada Wells and forward Christian Shumate, who can both play at a high level. This team can shoot, too. They have an effective field goal percentage of almost 55%, and they hit 39.4% of their threes. That's the fourth best in the country. They also don't turn the ball over, and they turn teams over. And I love the fact that they control pace, too. 283rd in tempo. That's good for an upset. They just need to keep the Zags off the offensive glass. And like you said, Gonzaga is playing some of its best basketball this season, so it's going to be a good one. But let's take McNeese State +7.
McNeese, you mean?
McNeese, yeah, McNeese. You know,
McNeese, McNeese, tomato,
Winthrop.
Tomato. Yep. Either way, I'm with you.
Winthrop.
I'm going to take the points.
Love it.
St. Louis
McNeese. Battlehawks.
I'm also going to take the points. I like it. All right, speaking of which, here we go. This is the one that everybody's looking at. Samford v. Kansas. Samford,
yes.
Absolutely one of the upsets everybody seems to be on. Kansas, obviously banged up. and as great as Bill Self is, and that program is, we've seen them suffer some really bad losses come tournament time. Mm-hmm. If you don't like them and you do like Samford, there is value. How much mm-hmm. value, and what are you doing with that game?
I'm taking Samford in the 7.5 points here. Absolute kick to the rock chalk stick and losing Kevin McCullough Jr. for the tournament.
Kicking the stick.
Right there, right to McCullough, right
that
to the
was.
Fan
I'll
base,
agree with
too.
That.
Yeah, for a team that has 0.0 depth on it, not good. That plays right into Buckyball here. Samford plays at a fast pace, full court pressure that will turn you over, and they have
that was the sound of a stick getting kicked.
It is, Kansas. All of Lawrence right there just dropped. Anyway, Samford, deep-ass rotation, too. They can also shoot the three. They average 10 threes a game while hitting 39.3% behind the arc. Biggest worries, one, they average 19.3 points less per game on the road, and two, size can be a problem, and it seems like Hunter Dickinson is feeling better after dislocating his shoulder, but I'm hoping first-team All-Southern Conference, big, a chore, will have something for the Jayhawks. Let's go Buckyball and the Samford Bulldogs plus 7.5.
Man, I so badly want to go against you, but I can't. I want the points, too. I like
love
that
to
pick.
See it.
I like that point.
Love
Kentucky
it.
V. Oakland. Now, there's a Jungle Karma game right there. John Calipari had a legendary catch-up with the program yesterday, and Oakland and their coach, Greg Campy, are one of the best stories of the entire tournament, and he came on the show earlier this week, and the two of them are tight. What is the number? What are you doing with that game?
The number is Kentucky minus 13.5, and I'm going to go with Cal and lay the points here. Kentucky is young, but they are so talented. They have the two best NBA prospects in the entire tournament, and they both come off the bench, and Rob Dillingham and Reed Shepard.
Rob
Dillingham.
How many syllables are there in
guy.
Rob? It's just Rob, dude.
It is just Rob. Robert, Rob.
Louis Battle Hawks.
Go ahead.
Right there. Oakland is good. They've played some tough teams, and they have that tricky zone defense you were talking about. They play at 80.2% of their defensive possessions. I don't think the Cats are a team you want to zone, though. It's not like a 2-3 where shooters shoot it down, but they will get looks, and they shoot the three ball better than anyone in the country at 41%. Plus, they are an excellent passing team who have multiple dudes who can get in the lane and get buckets and throw lobs to multiple dudes who could catch them and put it down. ATS Oakland is good. They've covered 61% of their games and have gone 4-1 ATS at a neutral site. But no poop and BBN's ice cream today. Let's go
there's
with Kentucky minus 13.
See if you can get that plane down,
you
dude. You know what? Again, I want to go against you, and I would love to pick Oakland, but I can't. I agree with you. I love – they're young, but, man, they are talented. Cal will have them ready. I'm going to go Kentucky. Another nice. Great story, Dan Munson, Long Beach State.
Yeah.
The school has already fired him. They informed him of it before the Big West tournament, but told him he could stay on and coach through the tournament. And what happens? They win the damn tournament. They get the automatic bid. This dude is literally the definition of dead coach walking, mm-hmm. but he's still there. Great, great story. Win the opener, and then it's one of the best stories of all time. Except for one tiny problem. They drew Arizona and their major dogs. What is the number? What are you doing here?
Yeah, if you're getting ready for work tomorrow, then you're probably not Dan Munson. That's
you're
what I'm thinking
ready for
here,
work
Jim.
Right now, then you're probably not Doug
That's not
Collins.
Too bad.
Dan Munson right
That's
there.
That's not too bad. I saw you. I see what you did
you're
there.
Okay. This should be it for the former Gonzaga head coach. You can get Arizona at Mike.
Minnesota, too, dude.
I know. He never should have left. He never should have left.
Why? But then we wouldn't have this story. Dude, he's been at the beach 17 years.
I know, but imagine if he stayed in Washington, where Few was at. I wonder where Few would be. Anyways, Arizona minus 19.5. I'm going to lay them all. I'm 19.5 for Arizona here. I like the style of the fight for the Cats here. Long Beach State does not play at a snail's pace like Princeton did a year ago. They play fast like Arizona, which is not good. Less stalling means talent takeover for the Wildcats. Biggest concern for them is
less
their inconsistency.
Talent takeover.
That's it. That's the Cats right there.
You love that.
I love that.
I do too.
I miss that. Coach
I do
Nick.
Too.
They've done a really good job this offseason, but that's football. Biggest concern, inconsistency in the backcourt. Yeah, that part. Caleb, love,
you know
and the fellas.
Not inconsistent?
What's
your
that?
Ability to butcher the English language?
It's
You're
most,
very consistent with that.
The most consistent thing in the world right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to protect the basketball. It's not a strength, and Long Beach State thrives on turnovers. They also thrive on offensive rebounding, but I don't see that happening against an Arizona team that could dominate people on the glass. ATS, Arizona is covering 63%. Long Beach State has covered their last three, but is a 48% cover on the season. Zona minus 19.5.
Man, I've got thoughts. I don't want to give up my thoughts yet on the beach, except that I love the beach. I'm not giving you my pick because I've got thoughts on the beach that I want to share next hour.
Okay.
So I agree with your first four. I will withhold that one if they're joining us late and they didn't hear it. Give me the five picks again. Head, run them back.
Kentucky minus 13.5 v. Oakland McNeese State, whatever the hell that school's name.
Easy peasy, yo.
Right there. Will Wade plus 7 v. Gonzaga. Samford plus 7.5 v. Kansas. Illinois minus 11.5 v. Morehead State. Arizona minus 19.5 v. Long Beach State. And I'm also taking Purdue at plus 700 to win the whole thing. And also congrats to you and your Calabasas High School family, Jim. As alum, Darnay Holmes did end up re-signing with the New York Giants. After all, a happy ending for everybody. Just saw that story.
Well, dude, feel free not to do things like that. That's not part of the deal. Oh. And make a mental note. It's St. McNeese State.
St. Louis Battle
St. McNeese.
We'll go with the Cowboys. Yeah.
Yeah, great. All right, Head, nice job. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
The Big Head Bets came back. Five games. The NCAA tournament is already underway. Love it. So let me tell you about something. The other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. It's amazing. It's something different for fresh breath. It is an incredible product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is a game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else and you're making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. It's clinically tested against the toughest offenders, even garlic and onions. You just pop two or three in your mouth, suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. The product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth. It then goes right down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. You're going to like having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath, or you get your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you're going to want it, but they will. They've got free shipping if you order three packs or more, and trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping. Go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com. Right now, you'll get 15% off when you use the promo code ROME. Zelmins.com. You do have to use the code ROME to get your 15% savings, ROME. Something else that's going to be officially underway, the beef segment. Clones, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags. You can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Hit me. Let's beef. You can beef about anything you want. You have your phone number. Hit me up on the X platform. Email me a beef. Let's start with the callers. First stop today, Michigan. Brian, good to have you. Brian, what is your beef?
Hey, Jim, my beef is with those idiots who clear their throats and spit a loogie, like right in the middle of the crosswalk or an entrance to the store. I mean, you couldn't find a patch of grass anywhere. Just makes me sick. Thanks.
Agreed. Filthy. Disgusting. Don't spit on the sidewalk. Don't spit anywhere. 1-800-636-8686. That is a solid start. Let's go to Fall City, Liz. What's going on, Liz? What's your beef?
Hey, Jim, long time. My beef is with the loser Generation Z parents. I'm looking at you, Wells, who let their obnoxious Rugrat kids scan items at the self-checkouts on weekends at Target. I don't have all freaking day to wait for Brantley and Cortland to scan endless boxes of Go-Gurt and tubes of fruit. Grow a set and scan the items yourselves so I can enjoy my weekend. I'm out, pimp. See you later.
See you, Liz. Thank you very much. Good to hear your voice.
War Lady Clones.
1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Missouri Joe. Hey, Joe, what's up? What's your beef?
Hey, Jim. My beef is with convenience stores, or more importantly, the lines in the stores. You got the guy up there, of course, the lottery tickets. But the other day I had a guy, there's a, people behind me. This guy comes and stands next to me. All of a sudden, everybody behind me, you can hear them all with their anxiety. They think I'm friends with the guy. I don't know. But, man, it just gets on my nerves and grinds my gears. I'm out.
Well, I mean, it's kind of understood, right? It's universal. Cutting the line is a reason to go. And they interpreted that as somebody cutting the line. Anyway, 1-800-63, whatever your beef was, 1-800-636-8686. Whatever your beef was, I'm glad that it's over. Let's go to Denver. Hey, Jim. Good to have you, Jim. What's your beef?
Hey, Rome. My beef is with crosswalk jogging in place, guy. Dude, you had to stop. Your Strava time has already gone up in flames. Take a much-needed breather. Stand down and wait for the walk signal, loser.
Bam. Well done. I like that. I like that. I like the beef. I like the way he laid it out. I like the attitude. I like the negativity. That was a good beef. Strong beef. 1-800-636-8686. Erie, PA, Paul. Hey, Paul, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim. Got a beef with people's vocabularies. The like, I know, you mean. Come on, people. You can clear it up. Yeah, you got more words than that to use. And I warned James in Portland. He's got to go to the smack off. Thank you.
Okay, Paul, thank you very much. I will take that under advisement. In fact, I thought about it. He will be. He's in. Come on! No, he's in. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Cleveland. Steve, good to have you. Steve, what is your beef?
My beef's with James Harden passing the ball to Kawhi Leonard and then running out there and trying to block Kawhi's shot out.
Yeah, that's kind of curious, right? I figured he was just trying to pad stats, trying to get that triple-double. Hey, James, you do know that if you block a teammate's shot or you get an assist, or I mean a steal, if you steal from a teammate, they don't go on your stats. They're not included. Anyway, that was kind of funny. Like, he gives the rock up and then he closes out. You see him last night? Close out to try and make that block. Anyway, let's keep moving. I like it. Having a good beef day so far. Why don't we try Nashville? Will. Hey, Will, what's your beef?
Hey, Romy. My beef is with back-end parking space guy. Like, I'm in the parking deck last night trying to make it to a tip-off. I'm late, parking deck's crowded, and this jerk wants to back in instead of pulling in. I'm out.
I got you. Well done. 1-800-636-8686. I mean, it's a beef segment, right? What would a beef segment without Vince being in? I got to let Vince in the ATX. Vince, I know you have beef. I just don't know what it is. What's your beef, Vince?
Hey, Romy, que pasa? My beef is with these wannabe clones. Think they do all the research, put in multiple brackets. All they do is brag, like they're going to win it all. Nobody wins it all. I'm tired of this. War Scotty, Lifetime Longhorn Scotty Scheffler, and Jera, oh, my gosh, time to go, way to go the way of old Yeller. I'm out.
I mean, somebody has to win, Vince. Somebody will win the pool. Nobody will ever have a perfect bracket. That's why they offer $1 billion to anybody who can get a perfect bracket, because they know nobody ever will. 1-800-636-8686. Why don't we go to Encinitas? Very underrated spot. It's a good place. I like it. Josh in Encinitas. Josh, what's your beef?
Jim, my beef is with the middle school e-bike mafia. These little morons cruising around on the street, driving all over the place, and you've got to worry that you're going to kill a kid, and they're looking at their phones and driving all over the place. Unwar e-bikes, war Encinitas, I'm out.
Hell yes. That's how you do it. The middle school mafia on the e-bikes looking at their phones, and you're afraid you're going to run them over and kill them. That was an excellent, excellent beef. He's so right. Where I live, they're everywhere, man. And they're, and by the way, they go fast. They're in and out of traffic. 1-800-636-8686. Myrtle Beach. Love to see it. Nick in Myrtle Beach. Hey, Nick, what's your beef?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Nick. Can you hear me?
That's not a good call. No.
Of course I can hear you, Nick. I just went to you.
Not a very good call.
Can you hear me? That's how you start your beef. Can you hear me? If I see you on the screen and I shout out to your town and I mention you by name and I ask you what your beef is, and there's already been 10 people that have gone before you, and I heard all of them, assume I can hear you, Nick. I should have said no. No, I cannot hear you. Now you're done. I got a beef with that.
Now I'm done.
I have a beef with that. That shouldn't happen. All right, back at it. Let's go to Kansas City. Dave. Dave, what's your beef?
Sixes and eights, pimp in the box. Thanks for taking the call. It's my wife again, Jim. Her inability to refill the ice cube tray. She'll take it out, put a few in her tea, and put it back without simply putting some more water in it. Fill the tray up, Jen. Thanks, Jim.
Fill the tray up, Jen. What's your beef? It's my wife again. Fill the tray up, Jen. I like it. 1-800-636-8686. Keep them coming. Let's try Denver. Scott. Hey, Scott, what's your beef?
What's up, Jimmy?
What's going on, dude?
Hey, dude. Beef is along the lines of what Paul said. The word obviously. And also, when people go honestly or in all honesty, they're redundant. They're what form of conversations with the people you interview? It's amazing how crazy it is.
Your phone quality was terrible, dude.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
You know what's worse than having a poor vocabulary or using crutch words? Having an inaudible phone line. One of my kids does that. I don't want to give him up. But got into a bad habit of starting many sentences with, quote, if I'm being honest. What, so does that mean that 95% of the time you lie to me? If I'm being honest, no, you should always be honest. You don't need to preface what you're about to say, if I'm being honest. I'm assuming you're being honest because I've taught you that lying is wrong. I mean, if you don't start with that honesty disclaimer, can I go ahead and assume that you're lying out your ass, son? But I won't tell you which son it was, if I'm being honest. Let's go to Wichita. KT in Wichita. KT, what's your beef?
Man, my beef, Jimmy, is the guy and the chick on their cell phone in the left-hand lane. Then they give you the bird, or they look at you all cockeyed when you go around them on the right. Dude, get off your phone, get in the right lane, let us in the left lane, go around you, and get on with our day. I'm out.
Bam. Well said. It's a beef as old as time, but it always works. Me passing you because you're not paying attention and you're on your phone and you're going too slowly in the fast lane is not a reason to go. Me passing you, period, is not a reason to go. I've told you that story a million times. I did that once to a dude in a truck coming out of my neighborhood, and he thought it was a reason to go and followed me to the gas station and got out of his car and was up in my grill. It's not a reason to go if we pass you. In fact, dude, you were baiting me. You were baiting me. You were going slowly. You were begging for me to do it. You set it up. You're having a bad life. You're a bad guy. You got a bad job. And you were purposely going slowly coming out of my neighborhood where you didn't live but worked. And you hated it. And you looked in your rearview mirror and you saw what kind of a rig I had. You're like, that guy. I hate that guy. I hate that guy. So I'm going to hit my brakes. So I go around you. I don't honk. I don't stare you down. I just go around you. Oh, and then all of a sudden, then you're Jimmy Johnson. Then you've got the pedal to the metal and you're changing lanes and you're following me to a gas station because you want to let the hands go. Come on with that, man. In other words, I agree with that guy. Let's talk for a minute about O'Reilly Auto Parts, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road and offering helpful service and parts knowledge that you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And they can also test your battery for free. If it needs to be replaced, they will help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. When you need a specialty tool to finish the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about their loaner tool program. Simply pay a refundable deposit and borrow the right tool, then get your deposit back when it's returned. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Let's go to Pensacola, James. James, what's your beef?
Hey, when you didn't hear what I said, don't come back with, do what? I'm not telling you to do anything. Just ask me to repeat myself.
I think he's got a beef with the person who says, I didn't hear you. Do what? I don't know. Was that directed at me or everybody? Is that a Florida thing? Do what? Huh? Do what? You want me to do what? Huh? 1-800. I want you to call with a beef. Huh? I want you to call with a beef. This guy knows. This guy always calls with a beef. Let's go to San Antonio, Ed. Ed, what is your beef this week?
Hey, Jim. Yeah, my beef was with my dry cleaner. Inevitably, every week I'll get a dress shirt back. One or two of the buttons are always cracked. Is this a little Asian woman in the back with a hammer going, ah!
Come on, man. No. Not cool, like not funny, not all right.
Not a very good call.
Ed, you should know how this works. That's not fine. That's not okay. That's not acceptable. And I don't even need to say why you got run for that. 1-800-636. You're on the wrong kind of watch list now, my dude. Let's go to the Q's. Edward in Syracuse. Edward, what's your beef?
My beef is that my kids have cell phones and they do not answer or text back.
Oh, I get that, dude. That's strong beef, Ed. That's tight. That's tight. That's accurate. And I think all of us can relate to that. Again, really quickly, so we have a family thread. It's a text thread. And I saw a video clip that I thought was especially inspiring. Family. And I wanted the family to see it. So I sent it to the family thread. DJ immediately reacts and says, that is so great. Jake Rome almost immediately, because Jake Rome is very motivated. And he sees it and loves it and tells me to have that person on my show. Thanks, Jake. And Logan's just straggling because Logan, quote, never reacts to our texts. And when he finally did, he gave me some bullcrap response about, oh, yeah, I never thought about it like that, Pop. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, just one of those, oh, I better react or he's going to take my phone away. And I feel you, dude. 1-800-636-8686. Tommy, where do you want to go? Why don't we read some so you don't get all butthurt that I didn't read them? At Intelligent Panda, quote, Romeland Security Administration. My beef is with my boss. I found this one person in the world that insists on everyone using the reply all. My inbox blows up like a digital version of a CVS receipt every day. I think we're all in agreement on that, man. Reply all is like the worst thing ever. Dear Mr. Rome, my beef is with the vomiting sound drop that Alvy occasionally plays after you mention something disgusting, such as Space Jam 2. I often listen to your show during lunch, and when I hear that drop, I start to feel like having to vomit myself. Even in the best of times, it is disgusting to have to listen to the sound of puking, regardless of how gross Space Jam 2 is or anything else. Sincerely, Matt in Vegas. War, good job, Alvy. War ragdoll cats. Unwore my ragdoll cat, recently passing away. Dude, I am very sorry for your loss. Truly, I mean that. Makes me want to vom. No, and I feel badly about that. I get it. Love ragdoll cats. I've got one. That is sad. Hey, Rome, my beef is with my apartment neighbors who haven't picked up their two dogs' crap all winter. It hasn't been a bad winter with much snow. Stop playing video games for 20 minutes and pick up the crap. Mike in GB. At J-Man 5, quote, my beef is with honk your horn to say hi at 5 a.m. guy. Dude, I'm not fully conscious yet. Headed into work. Wave. Don't set off car alarms on the street with your nonsense. How do you survive this long without dying from Tide Pods or planking on the highway? Hey, Snagger. My beef is with the price of barbecue. The toughest, crappiest, and least flavorful cuts of meat are now the most expensive because all the a-holes with electric smokers and pellet grills are making crappy versions of barbecue at home and driving the price up. A rack of ribs at a barbecue joint in middle America shouldn't cost $30. Derek in Des Moines. Hi, Jim. My beef is with my parents. If they would have told me that I'd be able to get nice with world-class athletes, I would have tried a lot harder in swimming. Gavin in South Bend via the D. Atta boy, Gav. Parents got to lead with that. Try harder. Work harder. Swim faster. If you do, one day you can get nice with other world-class athletes. Hey, Jim. With unlimited condoms in the village in Paris. Hey, Jim, my beef is with, I'm sorry, guy, when we all know he is not. Dude, you decided to wedge your late ass right in front of me at a concert. Then you turn to tell me you're sorry? Shut up. Wesley, near Boise. At Adam Taylor 0425. My beef is with delivery drivers that can use their phones, well, en route to chastise Alan on the wrong intro. I drive, and phone usage is a big no. War IRA Craig, using a fallen palm leaf as a back scratcher. Bum smack, not allowed. Hey, Jim, my beef? Is TV commercials showing man boobs. It's disgusting. Mike in Temecula. Unwore that dude with man boobs at the end of the commercial that we are not supposed to talk about. Dude, you just did what's not allowed. There's no loophole. There's no way around it. That's a JN blast. You know what that was. Thought you were so clever, Mikey. Don't do it. Rometown Buffet. My beef is with the report from Brian Windhorst that Zion weighs a ton, drops some pounds, and looks leaned out. Everyone looks leaned out to Brian Windpork. V and the Fee. War slow roll Otani. Taking the over on Yamamoto's ERA. God, slow roll V. Come on, man. Stop. Zion does look good, man. If you're going to call the guy fat, and we all call the guy fat, now that he's lost some weight and the guy's playing way above the rim, give him credit for that, too. Well, my beef is with my neighbor stop with... No. I got to clean this up for you. My beef is with my neighbor Stop with the cut grass after me or fix up garden after me. Do your own thing, you bum. Sammy in H-Town. First of all, no bum smack. Secondly, dude, like, what does that even mean? That is some of the worst grammar ever. What are you even trying to say? What does that mean? Your neighbor's watching you cut your grass and wants you to cut his grass or starts to cut his grass when you're done with your grass? James Kelly thinks you're not making sense. Hey, Jim, my beef is with when I ask someone recovering from a cold or a flu, how are you doing? And the response is a complete rundown of their symptoms in chronological order. I don't need to hear about your phlegm, pink eye, and nasal discharge. A simple thumbs up or down will suffice. Thanks, Bert in the City of Salt. Jim, I got a beef with myself. How is it a small spark from a passing by car can start a massive forest fire, wiping out an entire town? But when I go camping with my family, I can't get a pile of dry wood soaked in gallons of gasoline and barbecue lighter fluid to burn. My family looks at me with their marshmallow skews ready to go, wondering what kind of an idiot I am. I just want to look like a real outdoorsman for them. Jim in Temecula, nice job. Romy, my beef is with all the Zion love and praise. He's paid millions to sprint up and down the court every night. An amazing cardio profession. How about a little love for me as an outside sales rep in Wisconsin, making it one day without sitting at a bar with my customers? More fat is the new skinny. Mike in Southeast Wisconsin. Oh, no, Mike, definitely. What you do is way more impressive than what he does. No, I mean that. Dude, I was in outside sales. If you can make it an entire day as an outside sales rep and not sit at a bar with your customers, you're a legend. Hey, Jim, I got a beef with that old dude that still uses an ice cube tray. Who even has those anymore? Hey, Jen, don't forget to blow out the lamp before bed. Loser. John in Illinois. Well done, John. I mean, they're both well done.
Hey, John.
Rome, my beef is with all these uptight losers sending in lame beefs about grammar. Let's get to the beefs about wives and girlfriends. We got there, Will. Let's rapid fire telephone calls. We go to Salt Lake. Hey, hit these hard, hit them fast. Troy in Salt Lake. What's your beef, Troy?
How we doing, Rome?
What did you not understand about hit them hard, hit them fast, let's go rapid fire? How am I doing, Rome? Well, there's the phlegm, there's the nasal discharge, there's the sore esophagus. Come on, man, rapid fire. Get in, get out. 1-800-636-8686. We go to Arkansas, Jordan. Jordan, what's your beef?
My beef is with the baggy armchair fans in Arkansas that want E-Must gone. Leave E-Must alone. You're lucky he even coaches for us bastards. Remember the Pelfrey years? Remember the Stan Heath years? Warhorns down, I'm out.
Good job, dude. That's how you do it. And I agree with you. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Denver, Scott. Hey, Scott, what's your beef?
My beef is with AT&T and my crappy cell phone service.
Come on!
Hey, man, he got in, he got out. Come on! I asked for tight. I got it. Let's go to San Antonio. Mark in San Antonio. Mark, what's your beef?
My beef is elevator guy. I get in first. I hit the button. I turn nicely. I ask, where button do you want me to push? They come from the far corner to push it themselves.
Elevator etiquette. A breach of elevator etiquette. I like it. Let's go to Larry. Larry, what is your beef?
JR, my beef is with that small horned rhino and nutsack town.
Whenever I hear that butthole's voice, it feels like I'm getting a painful colonoscopy. So when Ryan wants into the jungle, say to him what you would say to Wells. Tell him no, 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 no.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
I mean, for you it was. For you it was a pretty good call. It wasn't tight. You never can follow directions, Larry. Let's go to Pomona quickly. Anthony, what's your beef?
Hey, Romy, my beef is with that guy with the crummy phone quality. Like, bro, does no one ever tell you what? I can't hear you. Like, does no one ever tell you that your phone quality is crummy? Or were you just walking around and you just got this thought, like, oh, I got to call the gym home, so where's some quarters? And you use the
That's not a good call. No.
Do what?
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
We're not ending on a high note, are we? My man, your phone quality is not good enough for you to have a beef with somebody else's phone quality. Especially if the beef never ends or actually ever starts. But you better have a pristine bleeping phone line if you're going to come like that. You should sound like you're sitting in studio or you have a Comrex or a podcast mic. I want to end on a high, but it's very unlikely with this guy. Maybe he'll shock the world. Ben in Driftwood. Ben, what is your beef?
Hey, Rome. My beef is with the state of Minnesota. We're supposed to have legal weed for this year, but we don't have any dispensaries until sometime next year. It's like having smack off 30 but not handing out any golden tickets, yo.
Just like that, dude. Move. Move to a state where it is legal. Or maybe, is it legal, but there are no dispensaries open yet? Anyway, not my problem. Let's get out. That actually was pretty good. That was fun, man. Wow. Dude, 29 minutes. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
It's good to have you on once again. So, Blake, business is business, especially your business. But I feel like saying Minnesota Viking Blake Cashman is a little bit different. How does it sound to you to hear that, and has it all sunk in yet?
It sounds great. I mean, it's so surreal. And, you know, I feel like every day since, you know, I've become a Minnesota Viking, it's becoming more real to me. But, you know, I'm just so excited for this opportunity and to be able to be back home and playing for the team that, you know, I grew up watching and to be able to also share this experience with all my loved ones, my family, my friends, everybody that's, you know, still back in Minnesota. It's going to be a great time, great experience.
Yeah, but like I was going to say, for those who don't know, the reason it's so surreal is you grew up in the area. In fact, you grew up in Eden Prairie. You played your college ball for the Golden Gophers. So you get to do the one thing that so few athletes actually get to do that almost all of them want to do, and that's come home and play. So that's a great thing. What else about that situation convinced you that this was the best spot for you on top of that?
Well, obviously the idea of playing back home for the Vikings, like you said, not a lot of guys get that chance. But, you know, it's the coaching staff there. It's the culture that the Minnesota Vikings have. It's something I wanted to be a part of. And, you know, to be, you know, in Flores' defense, a defense that's very exotic, he brings a lot of pressure. Gives guys a lot of opportunity to make plays and really showcase each position and what that player can do with his skill set was, you know, what really was the deal breaker for me.
We're talking to Blake Cashman. It makes sense. You know, you and I spoke a couple of times last year, so I know how much you enjoyed being a Texan. I know how proud you were to be a part of what they were building there and the great transformation. So you're coming home, but how hard was it to walk away from that locker room and from a team whose future was so bright?
It was a very difficult decision, and months ago when, you know, I'm heading into free agency or, you know, the season's over and It was a priority for me to be in Houston, but like you said earlier, like it is business, and I finally have played myself into a position where, you know, I want to maximize my role within a team, and I also want to, you know, get my meat and potatoes and maximize my value. So, you know, you really got to take your time, do your due diligence, and collect all the information you can, have the necessary conversations with people so you can make the right decision and have confidence with it. And, you know, that's a great team in Houston. They got a bright future. They got the right people in that building. And, you know, I said this after we lost to Baltimore in the divisional round, like that's a team that's going to win their division and, you know, be in the playoffs for, you know, the next coming years. And, you know, I still got great relationships with everyone there. I was treated greatly, and I got nothing but respect. So, you know, I wish them the best, and I'll be excited to continue to follow everyone's journey that's in that locker room.
Blake Cashman joining us. You know, Blake, I hear you, and the good news is at least you're going to bring one of those dudes from that locker room with you, outside linebacker Jonathan Grenard, who you played the last couple of years with in Houston. How nice is it to not only come with one of your own, but to come with that dude in particular?
Well, I said this right away. I definitely feel better with him lining up in front of me, because I felt like a lot of my big plays I had last year, my tackle for losses, came when, you know, he was lined up in front of me, because he's a great player, one of the best locker room guys I've ever been around, great leader. So to have him there, to be able to continue to play with such an amazing person and player, and to have a familiar face going to a new team, definitely brings a lot of comfort and, you know, adds a little bit more excitement to this.
You know, Blake, you're going to find out, but I'm curious. You're coming into a division that is so different than it was even a few years ago. You've got the Lions, and they made it to the NFC Championship game last year. You've got the Packers, who seem like they found a franchise quarterback in Jordan Love. All signs point to the Bears taking Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick. You'll find out when you're in it, but how rugged do you expect that divisional games in the NFC North to be this coming year?
Oh, I know it's going to be tough. I mean, all, you know, those teams, they're on the come up, or they're already been playing well. And, you know, it's going to be a competition every game, and you have to be at your best. But, you know, that's why I play football. Those are the moments you sign up for, that you want to be a part of. And, you know, like I said, I grew up in Minnesota. I grew up watching all those games, and, you know, it's always been one of my favorite divisions in the NFL. So to finally be a part of that, and to, you know, be able to play in those games, you know, multiple times in a year, I can't wait.
Blake, you know, I think I'm glad you mentioned it like that, because we talk about fan bases, and, you know, you talk about some of the, you talk a lot, for instance, about the Buffalo Bills or the Eagle fans. I think the Viking fans don't get enough run. You grew up in that area, and that's a really, really wide-ranging fan base that stretches all the way into the Dakotas, for instance, and they care, man, and they care a lot. How fierce and how proud is that Viking fan base? How would you describe it?
Oh, they're great. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been able to experience the environment in U.S. Bank Stadium, but I sure have. And you got the skull chant and just a loud atmosphere, fans on their feet the entire game. And, you know, they're passionate fans. They hate to lose, and they want to see their Vikings win. And, you know, just to think about that first game where I'm on the field and the whole stadium is screaming, and there's the echo of the skull chant and the hands clapping. Like, I've thought about it every day since I've signed, and it gives me chills thinking about it. And, you know, I think it's one of the best fan bases in football.
Hey, Blake, final thought. I think to come full circle on this, what you just said resonates with me and others, but it doesn't do full justice for those who don't know your background. You've earned everything that you've achieved in football. You came into the NFL as a fifth-round draft pick. Prior to that, you were a walk-on at Minnesota before P.J. Fleck rewarded you with a scholarship. I mean, you really, when you think about where you started and where you are right now, and then you imagine what it's going to be like when you hit that field for the first time, I think that really gives proper perspective to it. Then what does it feel like? What do you think it's going to be like when you run through that tunnel?
Honestly, I have no idea. Knowing me, though, I'm probably going to be bouncing off the walls with excitement, with, you know, fire in my eyes, ready to go and you know, play my best ball because, you know, I appreciate what you said. You know, my entire journey, I feel like I've always been somewhat of an underdog, constantly have to prove myself. And so the opportunity I have ahead of me, I've never been more excited for. And, you know, I'm going to, you know, work my tail off and I want to take full advantage of this because I want to make all the Minnesota Viking fans, the state of Minnesota, and my support system, my loved ones proud.
Good for you, dude. Great story. Great story. And you earned that. You earned that opportunity. And I know you're going to do everything in your power to crush that opportunity. He is Blake Cashman, just signed with the Minnesota Vikings. It is a 3-year contract, coming off a great year with the Texans. Blake, congrats. Great to have you back. Thank you very much. And I know you and I will chop it up during the year.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Look forward to it.
You too, Blake. Thank you very much.
Good night.